Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of James. Book of James. See, I need help. I'm just always ready to just get to the preaching. What are we doing now? Come on, let's get to preach. Amen. Well, we're going to look forward to here at the end of the month, starting in January, starting at the end of January and going into February some. Brother Bob's going to be doing a Sunday school series on prayer. So we're going to look forward to that here coming up in the new year and looking forward to that. You know, we're talking, you know, when we study the Word of God, and when I study the Word of God, it's not just what I can get to give you. It's what God gives me first. You know, I believe that, and I've said this way through the years, the difference between a sermon and a message is a sermon is just, it's just an outline. You know, it's a truth, and, you know, you could sit, I could take somebody else's sermon and teach it like a lesson. But a message is when God speaks to me, and I'm bringing that, and I'm going to share that message with you. And that's really, I really feel that's where the zeal comes from. You know, the zeal is like, wow, sometimes you're just excited. You're excited God showed you something, and you've been working on it, and you're ready to give it. And that's the way this works. Well, look, James chapter 2. And so, needless to say, we are not going to get through all the book of James by the end of January. Amen. So we'll take a pause and get back to it. That'll be all right. James chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9 is, it says, okay, I'm like, what happened here? My mind is working. Okay, I was looking at James chapter 1. I'm like, that is not where we're supposed to be. James chapter 2 is just right. Sorry. Okay. Y'all okay this morning? Am I? I don't know if I... Okay. Verse 8, it says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So, he says this. He says, you do well. I want us to look at, first of all, this thing, you do well. I always like to see the simplicity of the Scriptures in these kind of statements. The Bible gives us really, really this simple thing. Just really, here's if we put it in a question, do you want to know how to do well? All right? You want to know how to do well? Listen, that should be the goal of every follower of Christ, to do well. You know, one day I want to stand before the Lord and He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're looking for. So He said, you know, you want to know how to do well. He says this here, he gives it to us there. In verse 8, He says it this way. He says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, and let's just take out that middle for a second, you do well. Okay, so if you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, that's how you do well. So what is that royal law? Then he gives it to us in between the commas there. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Listen, you want to know how to do well? That right there, it's just simple. It's just a simple thing. You want to know how to do well? Love thy neighbor as thyself. It's a pretty basic. I like that. That's our answer of how to do well, is just to stick to that one area, that one thing. And when we stick, when we see that, we'll find that there's this simple place of dealing with this kind of concept of how do I do well before the Lord? Okay? So, but then we find the opposite then is also true. But if ye have respect of persons, you commit sin. So he's given us the two. You want to know how to do well? You want to know how to blow it? Right? So over here we do well, and over here is sin. This thing this whole letter has kind of been dealing with it, and in the beginning kind of deals with getting ourselves there, and and this thing about being a respecter of persons and how we treat other people, it's pretty important to the Lord. It's really kind of one of these top shelf things that God says this is. I mean, something that you're going to call the royal law gives you the idea that he puts it up there on a pretty important place. And so we have here then this comparison, two ways to live. So either by following the Lord, right? By following the Lord in this royal law, or in enmity against God, he talks about this, and we become the enemy of God. We do that which is against God. And so in this area we have two, there's not this middle ground. Well, you know, most people I do that with, but this guy, I just can't. Right? You see, I mean, this is kind of things. I can deal with there, but that one, I just, listen, let me just say this as a little thing. If that's really how you feel about it, just keep quiet about it. Do you know what I mean? Are there people that are harder to deal with than others? Amen. That's the truth. Let's don't try to pretend like that's not true. That is true. But let's not pretend it's okay to treat people poorly. Right? I just can't with that one. I just can't. Well, you should. And if you can't, work on it in here. Don't get it out here. Keep that. We get stuff out of this thing that just is really, and what we're doing is sometimes we're trying to make it like, in honesty, we're trying to make it like it's okay because they're really hard. And you know what we want somebody to do? Is agree with us. They are really hard. They are really hard. Well, there's two options here. The royal law, we're going to love them as we love ourselves. Now, is that hard sometimes? Absolutely. Let's don't pretend like that's not. It's very difficult. But this is what God wants us to be working on this thing. This is where we ought to be at. Verse the other side is when we become a respecter of persons, we're sinning. I like this person, don't like that one. God said, you're flat out sin. Right? That's pretty simple here, isn't it? Don't you like the simplicity of Scripture? We don't have. I wonder what he really means here. No, it's just that kind of thing. So how important? How important is this one little area in our life? Say, you know, I'm good with a lot of other areas, but this area is just, I struggle with this. Well, how important is this? Look at verse 10. He says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' said also, 'Do not kill.' Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law." Okay, so we know this verse, and we know the context of this verse of breaking the law. We talk about it at times. If you break one law, you're a lawbreaker, right? And this is what this concept. If you sin one sin, you're a sinner, right? And if you steal, you're a thief, right? I mean, that's we know this kind of concept. And so if you sin one thing, you broke the whole law. And so we kind of get this, you know, when the police officer pulls you over for speeding, right? He said, you broke the law, right? The whole thing. You broke the whole book wide open. So all I did, I was just, you know, 10 miles over, and I'm going to be thrown into a jail cell with murderers. You know what I'm saying? Say, could I get the really barely broke the law cell? Right? Now there are those different prisons. I'm not trying to say, but the point is this, the message is this, that there is a little bit of this thing of it's important to the Lord. So if you break one, you broke them all. The context here though is to focus on how the Lord has elevated this thing of how we're to treat people. Okay? He's bringing this place in the context of this matter of how we treat others, how we're a respecter of persons. So we are held to a high expectation. Because We've already received the mercy for ourselves. Look here. Look at verse 12. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So, look here. Not like those that lived by the Old Testament rule of the law. Listen, in the Old Testament, there was not this law of liberty. Right? We now have this thing, this law of liberty, that's given us to those that have received mercy. Now, those of us that have received mercy, can you just go back and shut those doors? That'd be great. Thank you. And so, this thing of mercy is this thing of this law of liberty. Where, listen, there's two contexts he's talking about here. He's talking about the Old Testament law and this law of liberty, right? Those of us that have gotten this, that have received it, live under this law of liberty, have received this mercy. Because of this mercy, it ought to affect us. You see, it ought to be something. Because we've received mercy, we should distribute mercy all the more. Right? To whom is forgiven, we should be willing to forgive others. Matter of fact, he said, the apostle said, Lord, teach us to pray, he said, you know, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And so he's trying to give us this concept of listen, because you've received this mercy, you ought to be willing to give it. Isn't it weird to me? It's weird to me. I don't know if it's weird to you, but when you see somebody that was bullied, a kid that was bullied, you would think they would really get it, how it feels to be bullied. But often that kid will go and bully someone else. You're like, what are you doing? You should know that, you should know how that feels and not want to do that to somebody else, right? But isn't that somehow we do this? He said, listen, what we should do is we should, because we've received that mercy, we ought to all the more distribute that mercy. So to be a respecter of persons, there's an elephant in the room. We can't just pretend like it's not here, right? Okay. Thank you, brother. So to be a respecter of persons violates the mercy and love of the gospel. Really, this, God came to you where you were at. Not because you deserved it, but he came to you out of mercy and love. And then for us to have received that, and then to say, yeah, I'm so glad I got this, I'm going to keep it to myself. Matter of fact, I'm going to decide who now I'm going to distribute that to. And so this one is easy to deal with. I want to give it to people that I like. Right? Or people that are easier to. There's some folks that I've just found that the people that you think are going to be the receivers of mercy, of God's grace, are not who you think it's going to be. I've seen some of the meanest, cantankerous people, the ones you look at and thought I thought that was going to be a sweet old lady or sweet nice gentleman, and all of a sudden they're spouting out words that I didn't know they could even know. You know what I'm saying? And then you'll see, I've seen folks that look like they've spent that time in prison, right? And you go to share the gospel, you go to talk to them about God's love, and they melt. There's tears running down. And you thought, no, you're not supposed to do that. She was, you know what I mean? And so, listen, God said, don't start trying to judge a book by its cover. It's really the thing. Don't put people in categories of this thing. He said, it just violates that mercy and that love of God. So look here, the third thing. So how are we at the third thing? Well, let me see. Now, first thing is you shall do well. The second thing is how important is this one little area. And now the third thing, what comes out reveals what's inside. I've talked about that. If there's two themes I want us to get here in our church, is number one, we've talked about this thing. We're in this thing together, right? We're in this together. We're a body of Christ. We're in this together, okay? The second thing I really want us, a theme or an idea of concept I want us to get is when things happen to us, what comes out of us was already in us. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to say that. You ever done that? I said something, I didn't mean to say it. No, you did. You didn't want to say it, but it's been in there. Right? Somebody ever do something to you and something comes out and you're like, I didn't mean that. Didn't you? Well, you didn't mean it to get out. Don't you hate that when you've been you ain't got enough the stuff and it just gets out and you're like, oh, I said that. You know why? You know what comes out is what's already in. Right? It's from that heart. Sometimes it gets out the mouth and you're like, it's too late then. So listen, because something came out, it wasn't something that just got there from just that moment. Well, I've never thought that way before. Really? Where does it come from? The Bible says it comes from our heart. That's what proceedeth out of the heart of man. And so what I'm saying is I want you to get this thought. I want us to keep this recurring theme, and I'm going to keep bringing it, these two thoughts, because I think they're very important, is what's coming out, God is sometimes and often is revealing to me when it comes out my mouth what was already in my heart. Okay? The first thing to do isn't for me to, I mean, just stay in here. First thing for me to do isn't to say, well, I didn't mean to say that. Well, how about the first thing we do is say, man, that's ugly. What came out of here was revealing what was ugly in here. So you know what that tells me? I need to do something about what's in here. Right? Does that make sense to us? The hot water doesn't put the tea in the tea bag. The tea is already in the tea bag. Right? It's already there. Whether it's, you know, green tea or black tea or oolong or the other things. Green, I already said that. I don't know what other teas are. Black and green, that's all there is. Anyway, when you dip that into the hot water, what comes out was what was already in there. The water didn't put it in there. So I would never say that, but you made me say it. Oh, really? The water made me do it. See, so what I want us to see is when something comes out that's not pretty out of you and me, first thing we say, you know what? There's some work needs to be done in my heart. Okay? Something on me is already there. You didn't do it to me. It was already in me. God just used you to pull it out and show me, hopefully showed me. And if it, so anyway, that's the theme I want us to keep remembering. Look at verse 14. We're in James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man, what's that next word? Say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? Okay, we find a passage here that's dealing with something that can often happen in Christianity. And this is a verse that's brought out a lot, but let's look at this. It's really what it's this thing of is a false profession. It's really what it's someone that says they have something. He says here, what does the prophet, if a man say he has faith and after that works, can faith save him? What it's talking about is, can that kind of faith, just because you say you have something, doesn't mean you have it. Okay, listen, salvation is a personal transaction between God and the sinner. It's a personal transaction. When I get saved, when I got saved, it was between me and God. It wasn't between me and anyone else, between me and God. And the transaction took place in my heart. Okay? Confession is made with the mouth. Romans 10 tells us about that with the mouth. Confession is made unto salvation or after or because of that decision. But something happened. It happens in my heart between God. You know, I really believe the day I got saved, I was sitting back there in that pew and the preacher said, listen, if you want to get saved today, come. The moment I began to move, I'd already made that decision right there. God, I'm ready. That's what I'm looking for. And when I stepped out of that pew and started walking down that aisle, I had already made that decision. I'm trusting Christ. And I came and I confessed that, right? I confessed. I mean, the preacher helped me. I didn't really know. It was all brand new to me. But I knew that's what I was looking for. God had began to deal with, you know what? There was a personal transaction between God. Now the preacher brought the truth, the information from the Scriptures to me. But it wasn't a transaction between me and the preacher, right? Now, if a transaction is between you and the preacher, it's not all you got's the preacher's salvation. That ain't going to get you very far. But when it's between in my heart, I've made a decision and confession is made because of that, and there's a transaction. This moment of salvation is not an external one; it's internal. It is not something that's immediately evident to others. I've seen people come to the altar, tears, weeping, snot all over the step. You know what I'm saying? I've seen it, and then I've never seen them come back again. I'm telling you, I've seen people just bawling and just, and then they never get, that was just an experience. I've never seen them. Then I've seen people come up and just have an experience of like, yeah, I'm just going to pray, and you know, just this, and you're thinking, did you really get it? If you really believed in your heart, we say that to people, if you really believed in your heart, what does that really mean? I think I did. I don't know. Right? We use some terminology that we just use because others used it. And when you think about it, like, I don't even know what that means myself, let alone telling. If you really believed in your heart, how do you really, really believe? Well, you just buckle down, right? And you really believe. Okay. Listen, here's the thing. We want to try to make it a little more of a visible transaction. I like it when somebody snots and cries and God is this, okay? And they just, I mean, you're like, okay, they got that. But that's not really the case. I've seen people that come and almost emotionless. I'm thinking about people that I can think of in my mind, almost emotionless. They got saved. It was just business. And they're still faithfully serving God. Like, wow. Okay. So it's not an sometimes there's things that sometimes we count on those and sometimes we don't. Listen, but it's not always immediately evident to others what really took place in someone's heart. So then the evidence of a true salvation decision is in the fruit that is presented in the one who possessed Christ. Turn over to Luke chapter 6. Luke in chapter 6 and verse 43. He says here Luke chapter 6, verse 43. He said, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So, listen, we do not do works or follow Christ's teachings so that we might be saved. But let me say that again. We don't do works or follow the teachings so that we can be saved. Okay, here's what I mean by that. That is impossible to accomplish. All of our righteousness is as... So a bigger bucket of filthy rags is not going to get us any more salvation. I got more dirty rags, Lord. How about that? See what I'm saying? So we can't do enough stuff, even if it's stuff we read in here, to earn salvation or to get salvation. So works doesn't acquire salvation. This is, you say, well, we know that. We do know that. Amen? It's what we preach. We know that. But sometimes we still live like it. You know, some things we know, we believe, but then we kind of want to put, you know, you need to really do this. Or, you know, listen, salvation, being born again, it changes us, right? It gives us a new heart, opens our eyes to the truths of God. You know, before you're reading this and it's just like stuff, okay, what do I need to do? Okay, be nice to people. All right, not be a respecter person. Love them like I love myself. Can I tell you, I cannot really do that without the Spirit of God. Now, I can be nice to people in a way that's kind. I can be nice to people like I can buy people groceries. I can give the beggar on the side of the road some money so he could go buy some liquor. I'm just, you know what I'm saying. I can do nice things to people and really, really feel good about it. But you know what it really means to love people? To tell them their eternal destiny. Amen. I mean, to love somebody isn't to tell them, you know, listen, I just want to let you know you could just be who you are and that's enough for me. And we put a big cheesy grin. We think, I've been so nice. And they say, you're so nice to me. Can I give you a hug? And we're like, we're nice. And listen, that's not what love is. Love is to tell somebody what God has said and what they need. Sometimes that hurts. Love hurts. Sometimes. It shouldn't always hurt. Love shouldn't always hurt. I'm just trying to love you here. No, that hurts too much. No. But this thing of there's something about loving them like you'd love yourself. And this kind of the salvation is it gives us a new heart and opens our eyes to the truth. Now the Spirit of God indwells us, convicting, directing, leading us into all truth, right? This is how this process works. So when out of that heart, right? Out of that heart of someone that's came and made a profession of faith and they're here, when out of that heart, evil continues to be brought forth, there's a problem, right? Right. Okay. So when somebody, can I just put it this way? When somebody says they're a believer, when someone says I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, when someone says I've got a new heart, a new life, and a new direction, and the Spirit of God lives, but out of that comes evil, right? Comes the same behaviors, comes the same things. There's the problem. And here's the thing. It reveals to me what is in my heart, okay? So we're not primarily, and I want us to catch this part. I think the challenge for us is that we take something like this and we become fruit inspectors. You know, so I start looking at John and say, what kind of fruit's he producing, right? I start looking over there, Brother Paul, I don't know, he's kind of been mean to me lately. You know what I mean? Listen, the idea here isn't, this passage isn't for us to start inspecting everybody's fruit. Well, let's see, but did they really mean it? Yeah, I know they did, but why did they, you know, you ever heard somebody say, I mean, you wouldn't have said it, but you've heard somebody say, well, they just did that so everybody would pay attention to them. Now we're judging their good fruit. Isn't that something that the fruit inspector? Yeah, they did the right thing, but I think they wanted the pastor to notice them, and they want to get called out from the pulpit. And now we're judging good fruit. Isn't that kind of somehow we get into that? Man, the human nature is disgusting, isn't it? I hate that human. I wish we could just one day. Well, can you even imagine? I can't even imagine what it's going to be like to just anyhow. Let's move on. So. We're not primarily to be fruit inspectors of others, but of this guy. I mean, not all of you, this guy, but all of us, our own guy, right? Our own lady, ourself. Listen, let this, what we see, what's coming out of my life, what's going on there? What's coming out of my life? And listen, when we do not see in our life the fruit which is good, like unto Christ, we can realize there's a problem with me. Okay, look at verse 46. We're still here in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord,
and do not the things which I say.
And this is so, isn't this so basic? It kind of, this kind of starts treading on some things we don't like. Don't you hate it when the Bible says things you don't know if you agree with? It'll do that. I've done that before. I'm reading. I'm like, I'm not sure if I agree with this. You're like, oh, wait, no, I'm reading the Bible. Now, you know what I mean? Because it's like, I'll get this and I'm listening. Yeah, I don't know. And then you'll read this and I'm like, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm, you know, and we got to wait. No, that's the Bible. If I don't agree with that, I'm done. You know, I don't have nothing to agree with. Right. So here's what he says. This, he's saying this thing. He said, listen, if why call me Lord, Lord? Why? In other words, why are you saying you have faith and do not the things which I say? I've heard a lot of people say this, Pastor, I know what God wants me to do, but I just don't want to do that. So what do you think I should do? Stay away from me. You know what I mean? What, you want me to counsel you? How do I get out of doing what God wants me to do? You want me to give you counsel? Okay, here's what God wants. And I know He wants it. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this. Now what should I do? I can't say how many times I've had people come to me like that. What should I do? I'm like, I have no counsel for you. Nothing. I'll tell you what, go back and do what you know God wants. Well, I just can't do that because if I do that, I'd lose my job. If I did that, it would hurt my relationships. You know, my marriage, my this, my wife would leave me, my husband would be mad. This. I know sometimes it's heavy. It's a preacher, are you telling people they should separate from? No, I'm not telling nobody nothing like that. I'm just saying if you know this is what God wants because it's clear, and you say, I know what God has said He wants me to do, but I just can't do that. Why call me Lord, Lord, if you won't do the things I say? It's kind of basic there, isn't it? It's just pretty basic. It goes on, verse 47. Whoso cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Isn't it kind of weird, some of the children's stories? The rains came down and the floods came up. Right? And we make this like it's a little... We're talking about somebody that says, I'm going to follow you, Lord, Lord. He said, no, but you built your house not on the rock, but on man, on no foundation. And it says the ruin of it, of this house was great. Your life was cast away because you put your hope on not what God did, but on what you built, on nothing. Sometimes kids' songs are a little bit more serious. I was down there at the Ark. We were looking at that thing down in Ohio and Kentucky. And they're talking about the flood. And I just thought, they talk about the flood, and we got this all in these, I think I talked about it here already, but these kids' nurseries and all this. This is the greatest destruction of life this planet ever had, and we're making it a storybook children's room. Isn't that weird? Sometimes, anyhow, I just thought I would do that. Look here, your life is either built upon the rock or it's built upon the earth. Okay? My life's either built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ or it's built on no foundation. See, this is why lives kind of get growing and they build and things look exciting and it's gone. I mean, it looks like somebody is going great. Listen, it's not that I build my life upon me as a foundation. No, there's either built on the rock or is built on there was without a foundation. Listen, I want to say this here, though. This doesn't mean each of us is always going to get it right. We're not always going to get it right. We're not going to be perfect. Wouldn't it be great if you could just get it right all the time?
You're not going to do that. But here, listen here. A tree that is primarily full of dead leaves, it's a dead tree. Right? A tree full of mostly good fruit is alive. Okay? Listen, doesn't mean because we got good fruit that sometimes we blow it, right? My little children, sin not. That's what he said. But if you do, don't you? I love that part. The very next verse, my little children, sin not. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, right? He said, don't do it. But if you do it, or rather, when you do it, there's a way to deal with that thing. And so, listen, God wants us. He wants us to be perfecting, but we're not going to be perfect. We're just not going to get to that place. But we ought to be, listen, our life ought to have more of so what I'm saying is, listen, well, if one day I thought an evil thought, maybe I'm not saved. No, that's not what this is talking. That's not the concept here. It's this thing of saying, listen, for the believer, it's different. See, so a tree that's mostly full of good fruit, listen, a false profession will not produce that. But a true profession of the Lord will. I want you to notice, we don't have time for that. I want you to, let's get to it just for a moment. Acts chapter 8. We'll finish this up next week, but I want us to at least see a little bit of this, an example of this in the Scripture, of this false profession. Acts chapter 8, and in verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So we find here Simon the sorcerer had made a profession of faith. Okay? So we find there. And then he himself believed and was baptized. By the way, what we find often in the New Testament, that baptism was actually the profession, the public profession of faith. He had made publicly through this thing of baptism. And look at verse 14 now. And when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 16 says, for as much, in parentheses, he says, for as yet, he, talking about the Holy Ghost, was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So it's giving us a little information. That's why at that time there was still this laying on of hands. It was kind of a beginning, the very beginning of the New Testament. It says, then, verse 17, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, what happened? He offered money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Woo! He said, this is real life sorcery. Begin to see the fruit of this man, right? Begin to see the fruit of what's going on in this man. Things that was going on there. And he had a desire to purchase the power of God. Listen, we're gonna continue with that next week and see this thing. But I want us to, we'll see that this happens, folks. We find this happens in people. And I don't think we're ever should be in the business of trying to talk people out of salvation.
But at the same time, I think we can find ourselves guilty of talking people into it. Well, you got saved. I can't tell how many times I've talked to. There's a couple people there, and asking about. Oh yeah, you got saved. Remember you got saved? Remember that day? I remember you got saved. Like, can they answer? Right? Can I be saved for my kids? Well, then let them give an answer of their own salvation. Can I be saved for my spouse or for family or friend? No, remember that day, because I led you to the Lord. You know, remember that day you came and you said that? I've seen them coach them through. Isn't that weird? Why would you coach somebody through their profession if they can't get it themselves? So are you going to be? Would we be happy with that? You know, sometimes it's embarrassing to us maybe that our folks aren't saved. Maybe it's, I want them to be saved so bad that I don't want the thought of them not being saved to come. I don't know what the case is, but I've seen it. Listen, we can be guilty of talking people into their salvation. I don't think we ought to be trying to talk people out of their salvation, but I think there's a place, and we find this in the Scriptures, where these are brought out, and the Lord brings these things out so that we can see what's in my heart. Bring it out. What do we see there? God begins to say, you say this, but you won't do this. What's going on there? What kind of fruit are you? And sometimes the Lord just, I'm just putting my mind on this. I think God's sometimes shaking the tree a little bit, letting see what falls out. And we say, you know what? I've not been living for Him like I ought to be, or these type of things. Listen, let's